Hey, it's Kevin Kennedy of Your Valuable Home Podcast on New Pod City Podcast Network. Hey, Ron, I'm going to be a guest on Chef Joe Maselli's Table for Two on Saturday, August 21st on 1400 AM The Wand.
Okay, everybody, be sure to tune in. But Joe, a little bit of advice for you. Don't ask him for any recipes because you'll be in deep trouble.
Yeah, I tell you, Ron, people have been for years listening to me talk about home improvements. Now they're going to be listening and laughing at me talk about cooking. So again, we're going to pop the cork of Prosecco on Saturday, August 21st at 10 AM.
Okay.
It's the official, unofficial podcast of the city of Trenton, New Jersey. Yeah. With your host, Frank Ferocious Sasso.
Trenton still makes and the world still takes.
And Christina Firestarter Sasso.
Trenton is Mayberry with attitude.
Hang tight, because we're going to meet the lifeblood behind the culture, food, arts, music, pork roll, punk rock, hair, butts, education, talent, events, of Trenton, New Jersey. Here's Frank and Christina.
Yo. Podcastia, fresh in from Nashville, yes, Tennessee.
Yes.
What a trip.
I'm still jet lagged.
Yeah, jet lagged. We drove.
I'm sleeping.
You didn't change time zones.
Well, I love that the guest comes in, they just start talking.
You actually do change time zones.
It's an hour, first of all. Yes. It's only an hour.
But still, you change.
And I explain to the guest, look, we're going to talk first. Don't say, you know, and then we'll. And they can't wait. They got to get on that mic.
That's it.
Typical director. Yeah. The reason he's not in the film that we're about to promote today. All right. Anyway.
I'm excited.
Nashville was fantastic.
Yes.
It was really, really good.
I had a lot of fun. I like Nashville. I like, you know, not crazy about the touristy parts, but I definitely recommend seeing that. Mm-hmm. You know, quickly,
right?
And then make your way to the outskirts, to the where the locals live.
Yeah,
and eat
like we did.
Mm-hmm. I always like to do that when I travel.
Well, we saw those people dancing.
Yes, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was
so much fun.
That was a scene.
It was definitely.
You know what was even more of a scene? Mm-hmm. Watching Kevin Kennedy from the Your Valuable Home podcast. Who you heard at the
beginning
of the
show.
Oh, you
should put that video on YouTube of him dancing.
Watching him dance. Well, anything he does off mic is absolutely outrageous and a little disturbing.
It's very
so
disturbing.
So when I saw, he took my hat. I had a cowboy hat on. Took my hat. He started roaming around the dance floor with his shorts on, and it was his arms and legs everywhere. Yes, Kevin is a force to be reckoned with.
And he has a signature dance move.
Yeah, and Lori, his wife, scary. I am praying for you every day.
But it was fun. We had a good time.
But it was a lot of fun, and Will Foskey broke out the moves. Yes. I never thought he could move.
He was teaching dance class.
He can moonwalk.
I know. He has those moves. Yeah.
I'm that guy for a few years now. Never knew that. He just broke that move out.
Why would that come up in conversation?
Excuse me. If guys are getting together and I don't know as a guy that you as a guy can moonwalk 3-4 years into the relationship. No, what else are you hiding? that's going to come out. Oh, hey, I can moonwalk.
Oh, boy.
Mm. Anything else you want to talk about before we bring Adam on?
No. I want to talk about this.
I got some questions about this.
I want to talk about this film.
Yeah, about this film.
Because I liked it.
Podcast, yeah. We have a treat for you today. We're going to try to change gears a little bit. It's the first time we're doing this.
What?
We're doing a film.
Right, but we're also doing a local person who lives in Trenton.
No, I understand that, but his whole thing is that he made a movie.
Yes, that's awesome. There's lots of talented people in the city.
There are a lot of talented people. You know, Jeff Stewart is the only one who makes movies in Trenton.
Very creative people, not just artists.
Right, exactly.
The creativity from every area.
And that's what we've been saying from day one.
Absolutely.
Podcast here. Put your hands together. For the director, Mr. Adam Neurath is here with us. Welcome, Adam.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
I love you. What's not to love? You got a cool look about you. You got a Hawaiian shirt going on there. We're
just trying to keep it chill.
It's a hot summer day.
Trying to keep it chill. I like that. So, Adam, this new film that has come out is called Godspeed Los Polacos.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about a bunch of guys that get into kayaks.
They
travel the world.
It's specifically South America, correct? I get the Americas confused. I know North America.
They're all over the Americas. They come up to Casper, Wyoming for a little bit and whatnot. But really, the film is about the Cold War through the lens of what very well might be the greatest road trip of all time.
Yes. Well, we were talking in the car, and I was saying it hits a lot of different notes because it's about the fight for freedom. It's about that solidarity. It's about a road trip. It's about kayaking. It's about guys being together. It's just a lot of things in this film encompassed.
Yeah.
Right? Like, exactly. I think it would interest a lot of different people.
I just know what they went through with those kayaks. We went kayaking recently.
We don't do that.
I was done after 90 minutes. I was exhausted.
We don't do that. But but before we get into the film, I want to ask a question. I want to ask, in your journey of life, what has brought you to Trenton, New Jersey?
So I work as a cinematographer primarily out of New York, and my partner Sonia works on a bicycle network mostly in the greater Philly area, so Trenton's right there in between. There's a certain DIY sensibility about the city that really attracted us here, and like we knew that there's people playing bike polo, people riding tall bikes and stuff like that, and so we showed up. And we already had tall bikes. We already
those tall bikes that will
they scare me.
They scare me. They really do. It's like, what are you doing? Did you ride a bike?
It's cool though to see.
They're very weird. I can't drive those either or ride them.
Yeah, it was funny that people like when we came to town and they're like, where the hell did you guys come from?
So then you decided this is the place for us.
Yeah, I mean, we really like the community here, and living's pretty cheap out here, so that's not bad either.
It's like this hidden gem. Like, I don't really want, like, I want people to come and, like, and see how wonderful it is, but in a way, I'm like, no, don't come here.
Right. Now, what's Sonia's deal? Where is she today?
Sonia works a 9-to-5. You know, she's busy during the day.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Even with all her bike clubs and stuff?
She's a working lady.
Yeah.
Is she involved with the Trenton Cycling Revolution at all?
Yeah.
Okay, because I think I might have met her a couple of years back at Champs.
Mm-hmm. And so she like puts on the Ciclovia and stuff like that.
Oh, okay, okay.
Because she reached out to us and I never met her. I think maybe I did meet her.
Off topic. I actually just direct messaged somebody at Trenton Cycling. I have two bicycles we want to donate.
Oh, excellent.
So...
Yeah, they're still sitting.
Right. Well, we were away, so then it was bad timing. So now that we're back, we can do that.
Sweet. Anyway.
Yeah, all those bike donations go through the Boys and Girls Club over on Olden Avenue.
So you
can kind of just kind of bring them over there. And
oh, that's good to know. Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's get into the movie now.
Yes, yes.
Because this is very exciting. We have there's a big thing going on Friday, correct?
Yes, tell us about Friday.
Last year, the movie's been on the festival circuit. It's been doing really well.
Nice.
It's won awards at 9 festivals. And then we're finally excited to bring it home here to Trenton. So this is going to be our Trenton premiere.
Awesome.
Our homecoming.
That is great. And it's going to be at the Passage Theater, correct?
That's right.
Yes, the tickets on sale. Check it out.
How do people get tickets?
It's on Eventbrite. So can find links on all of our social medias, like Godspeed Los Polacos and whatnot.
On the Passage Theater website, can you get to it from there?
I'm not quite sure. I don't have a good answer for that.
Really? See, that would be the place you would go.
You know, we're kind of resurrecting them out of the pandemic right now. They've been kind of closed now, so I think we're like the first event they're doing.
Okay.
I don't know what their infrastructure is like right now.
Come on, Ryan. Hey, Ryan, I'm talking to you.
I can actually check it out. I can check it out while you talk.
She's going to check it out, Ryan, but we're talking to you right now.
I'm going to look it up in my Funkin' Wagnalls.
Like, get with the Funkin' Wagnalls?
Yes.
I don't think people know what that is.
That's okay.
Do you know what that is? Look it up in your Funkin' Wagnalls. How old are you?
I'm 28.
Oh, there's no way you know what that is. Forget it. All right. We'll move on.
It's a set of encyclopedias. But
right.
Actual psych. Like A to B.
Right.
Funkin' Wagnalls, are those last names?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, but when you say it fast, it sounds like you're saying, like, look it up in your Funkin' Wagnalls.
Well, the history of it is, if you ever watch the show Laughing, which, again, you have to be older, they used to say, look it up in your Funkin' Wagnalls.
It was like a 60s thing. That's what the dance was all about.
Yeah, I say it fast and it sounds goofy as heck.
Yes. Yeah, see, that's something you could leave with today. You could bring that home and be the envy of all your neighbors. I tell you, when we watched the movie, not only was I getting physically tired, like I said in the beginning, I was like done after 90 minutes of kayaking.
Tell us a little synopsis about the movie. Because when I saw the title, I didn't know at all what, just the title didn't tell me anything. But go ahead.
So the film is really, it's a bit of a bait and switch for us to talk about the fall of communism in Europe, the fall of the Berlin Wall, and how the Polish Solidarity Movement is really kind of like the first in a long series of events that leads to the fall of the Berlin Wall. But that all sounds pretty dry and boring when you say it like that. So the whole thing is a bait and switch where we talk about it through the lens of this spectacular, DIY, quirky, way over the top kayaking expedition through the Americas. And the thing you got to understand is it's these guys who decide that they're living in Poland under communist rule. It's really, there's... Life is pretty stifled. Your future is pretty set. You can't really leave the country or do anything. But they discover that they like kayaking, specifically whitewater kayaking. And Poland, as they find out later, has no whitewater kayaking whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But they realize that this is their passport to go see the world and have a big adventure, because they know that the Soviet regime needs good PR. And one of the ways they get this good PR is through sporting achievement. And so that's why, like, things like the Olympics and stuff like that, you always see, like, you know, countries under totalitarian rule put a lot of effort into that. And so they pitch the government essentially with the fact that, hey, we'll go out to the Americas, we're going to get all these spectacular first descents on kayaking rivers and stuff. And they pull all these strings to make it happen. And they get out there and things take a turn.
I love their approach. Like, they just, it seemed to me they just wanted to do something because their life was so just dim and dull. And it was seemed very hopeless. They looked into the future and they were like, hey, we can do this. And they weren't thinking like it might be dangerous. It might be, you know, it's just like, hey, we can get out. We can do this. Like, let's just do it. And they just did it. Like, you see the kayaks that they had and the equipment that they had.
Yeah, his foot is coming through at one point. I had to keep putting a fiberglass patch on there.
Yeah. It was just really cool. I love the, when you see them younger and then you see them talking about it today. I'm assuming it, you know, as older men, like, we're just crazy. We just did it.
Which leads me into the whole thing of, I love the cinematography. I love, like, the three different techniques you guys used, in addition to the split screens of the young and the old. But you had, like, animation, you had motion control, you had, and then you had regular shooting. I'm a member of the American Society of Cinematographers, so I really appreciate all that stuff, especially the animation, because I'm a former animator. So that really also was an interesting way that you use those techniques to keep the story moving. I really like that. That
something
whole
I had
approach.
Never seen before is in a couple of shots, it was clearly a still picture, but there was one shot of candles and the flame was moving.
Yeah.
And it was, you almost had to look at it. I'm like, I know that's a still picture, but it looks like it's,
yeah,
it's actually a moving picture, because mm-hmm. just the flame is moving.
Right. They did a little bit of that with some of the water as well.
Well, they also did it with a bird.
Yeah, that's right.
And I think a car was going over a bridge too, because it looked like, I'm like, that's real. I've never seen that before.
See, Adam, we watch for stuff like that.
I appreciate that. Heck yeah. I mean, you know, I'm a big fan of documentary film, and I'm a big fan of the idea that documentary film doesn't have to be boring.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, shout out to Ken Burns. Mm-hmm. He did awesome stuff. But
Ken Burns, so much so that he took motion control and they named it after him.
I know, but, like, come on, it's 2021. We got to be doing something more than the Ken Burns effect.
Yeah. Right, I agree.
And so, yeah, so we're doing a lot of, like, 2.5D animation, which is, like, you take an archival photo, you chop it up, you make it look three-dimensional, you add these, moving parts. So it,
puppet style.
Totally. And, it, and, you know, and for us, who are making a film that's, like, completely archival, adding that extra stuff in really, I think, brings you into the world a lot more.
Oh,
Yeah, absolutely does.
Well, I also, the actual footage of the whoever was filming it, mm-hmm. was amazing. Like, they clearly were on land while they were filming these guys going down the river, and I'm imagining this person, like, trying to jump over rocks and, like, still holding a camera while negotiating this terrain.
Yeah, every Q&A we do with those guys, they always love to remind the audience that the only rapids you see in the video are the easy ones, because the hard ones, they needed everyone in the boat. They couldn't be spending time filming them and stuff, right?
That's crazy.
And so, yeah, a lot of that footage is spectacular. We're, like, so psyched to have found that stuff. But one of the challenges that we came across is during their expedition, they were sending footage back to Poland. And they end up taking a stance against the totalitarian regime in Poland. And when they do that, all that footage gets erased. They just gets tossed out.
Are you serious?
Yeah, so they lost a ton of footage from those middle sections. That's partially why, you know, we do these photo motion graphics treatments, because we have to fill in those areas, and why we animate some scenes. Animation's expensive, and hiring a real animation studio or something, like, we did not have the budget for that. We essentially made this movie. We did ran a little bit of a Kickstarter thing, but we made it essentially on no budget. Mm-hmm. And so we came up with a fun technique where we had a friend who was a great illustrator, but she has never done any animation. And then I've got some motion graphic skills. And we kind of put those two together where we would draw up these storyboards for her, where we'd be like, okay, draw the guy, but make his arm on a separate layer. Right. And then she would send all those things to me, and then I would put it all together. And we came up with a thing that I think is pretty convincing.
That totally
works. I love it. I love that style. It was very simple, But it was very evocative, and I very think. Like the guy they compelling. Left on the rock.
I love the guy on the rock. Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, and all the motion kind of happens in slow motion in the animations, yeah. Which seems like a really deliberate, like, or intentional choice. Yeah.
But and I know it's not.
Yeah, it's dictated by the fact that, like, okay, well, we can't really do much more animation
I know what's going on here. That was the best.
Oh, but that works. It totally works. Yeah. I love it. I love it.
So the group is called the Kanawandas, the group of kayakers, and we like to say that we made the film in true Kanawandas style, really just scrappy, putting it all together.
It totally worked. And, right. Yeah, it totally worked.
Right. The story
loved
there.
Loved it.
Yes, I agree. But how did you discover these guys?
For Sonia, the producer of the film, and for myself, both of our parents each came from Poland in the like late 80s. Right. So this is really kind of a personal story for us in that it's a chance for us to explore the circumstances of our parents' immigration to the United States and kind of the geopolitical circumstances that they were leaving. Our parents landed in the United States. The Polish community here in New Jersey is pretty small, so like people know each other and whatnot. And I kind of grew up hearing about this guy, Jurek Majerczyk, one of the guys in the film. And he was just like this infamous and over-the-top guy in the Polish community. And I kind of knew about this like expedition, and my dad was friends with him and whatnot. So as I got older and I got into filmmaking, I love adventure movies and action sports and stuff like that. And right. I knew there's something I wanted to make, but I kept coming back to this story. I was like, I've never heard anything this crazy or this cool. So I kept coming to him like, hey, we should make a documentary. But like, you got to understand, in his brain, he looks at me and he just sees like the 5-year-old kid that was running around his backyard during like barbecues and stuff.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's like, you're not a filmmaker. What are you talking about? And so it took years of like prodding him and trying to convince him to make this movie for him to finally sit down and do the interview. And when we started the movie, I thought we were making like a 20-minute short film, which, you know, we'd finish in a few months. We'd throw it on the festival circuit. Hopefully it would do pretty well.
Right.
And we did that interview and we're like, oh no, we have way more than a short film on our hands, which was horrifying. Because if you had asked me like what hell looks like, mm-hmm. and probably to this day, I'll give you the same answer. It is editing a feature length documentary. It's
oh, God.
So hard. Well, it's so much work.
That. Yeah.
Yeah, that is not, I mean, I wouldn't even imagine. I couldn't even imagine some of that stuff. Documentaries are hard.
It's so much work. Because, you know, there's tons of work that goes into doing like scripted narrative work as well. But like, you know, documentary is such a reductive process as opposed to like a building process.
Exactly.
Where you start with like, you know, you gather all your materials and you're just wrestling with it for years. Right. To try to figure out how to make any sense of it and right. to deliver it in a way that people can digest.
Mm-hmm. No, you're absolutely right. What were some of the, other than the editing, any other horror stories in this process?
Well, part of the trickiness is just the guys themselves have kind of fallen out a little bit over time. The politics of just making sure that we can get access to all the story was all right. like really sensitive at times. And so dealing with that kind of stuff was a little annoying. And then now the things that we're figuring out are like, well, we had to fundraise just to pay for like all the archival footage that we use and stuff right. like that. But like errors and omissions insurance and all this like just bureaucratic
oh
stuff
God.
That like.
But the movie's done now and it's great. The rest of the stuff should be easy.
I mean, yeah, it's going,
right?
It's going.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I think it would be. Anyway.
Yeah.
So did you have to go to Poland to interview? Oh, these guys live in the United States,
they
right?
live in the United
oh,
States, right. right. So okay. we did a big road trip around the country. We interviewed all those guys. We went to Poland to get some archives from, like, they had this kayak club that's still a thing there. Mm-hmm. So we went there and got
that's
those
cool.
archives. And at the beginning, you know, I've shot a bunch of short films and, like, commercials and stuff like that. So I didn't really have anything to show in, like, the realm of, like, a feature-length thing. And so they didn't really, like, completely understand what we were doing. So they were, like, they gave us some photos and stuff, but, like, they didn't really dig deep into their archives. And it wasn't until, like, the last year of production when they're, like, we sent them, like, a little bit of a draft. And they're like, oh, no, oh, wow, this is legit.
Right.
And then they start sending us all their stuff. And I'm like, guys, we went to Peru to shoot just like landscape B-roll because we thought we were gonna have to fill this stuff in.
Wow, you had to go to Peru just to get like some establishing shots?
Well, we thought we were gonna have like a lot of just like dead air that we needed to fill in with visuals. Mm-hmm. And so we just went and just like went to the Colca Canyon, went down there, filmed all this stuff, and we didn't use any of it.
Oh wow.
Dude, wow, what a trip to take just for some canyon footage.
It's funny.
You couldn't have gotten that from Getty or something?
Dude, no, that's nothing's on there.
Wow.
For the Colca Canyon. And the one and only shot we used from that trip that is in the very beginning. There's like a black and white TV shot.
Yeah.
And so we use our beautiful 4K modern footage.
And made it look old.
Made it look old and terrible.
Wait, that was your footage?
Yeah.
What was that? Would you do the drone?
Yeah.
You know, as I'm watching that, I'm thinking, oh, wow, they didn't have drones back then. That must be it from a helicopter. It's like a black and white.
Well, yeah, there is helicopter footage that, or plane footage that that they shot also in there, but later in the movie. But that first shot is like, that's the one section of the movie that we shot in Peru, and that's the only time
that is hysterical. Wow.
I remember having that thought. Is that the section where you're talking about the military pilot?
So that's the actual footage that they shot.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, all right. I remember that.
Wow.
But so, yeah, like, I remember Yurek coming to us. He's like, he starts spilling out all these archives that we had never seen before. And it's like footage of them marching in Peru. It's like all this incredible stuff. And we're like, it's like 6 months before we finished the movie, too.
Wow.
I'm like,
wow,
dude, we were going to animate all this. Like, what is wrong with you?
That's funny.
And he was just like, well, you know, it's a lot of work to look through the archives. I didn't want to give you guys too much work.
Oh, out of everything, and maybe there'll be something like a bonus kind of a thing, what in the film that you had to cut out would you have loved to left in?
So one of the things that we kind of gloss over, just because you had to do it for the tempo and pacing and all that stuff, is about 6 months into their expedition, essentially their contract with Poland and the officials there runs out, and they're like, you guys have to come back. And we kind of jump over that because it's a lot to unpack, but like, it was a pretty contentious moment within the team, and like, that's like a pretty like spicy thing that we kind of gloss over, but that would be cool to dive into a bit more. Yeah.
Because I was thinking when that came up in the film, like, they are being called back to a communist country, and they, you know, then they did not go back, but there's ramifications for people who they know who are still there, and that must have been really heavy on them. Like, we don't want to go back, we're not ready to go back, but what's going to happen to our families and our friends?
Absolutely.
Because it's not going to be easy for them. Interesting. Yeah,
and then the other thing is just, like, time gets really compressed in the documentary, but they're out there for, like, 2.5, almost 3 years. And so there's, like, a section where they're in Ecuador for 4 months because their stuff got, like, they took a freighter over to Ecuador, and then the thing that, like, all their stuff just got caught by customs.
Wow. Oh,
and they're just, like, hanging out there forever. The filmmaker guy, Yacek, he goes over to the Galapagos Islands to shoot some stuff. Boy. And, like, you know, none of that's in the movie.
But that's kind of cool. Yeah, it must be hard to. Overall, it was 2 years at this.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So you think like that had to be condensed into like an hour and a half.
Wow,
that's so much going on, in so many ways. Like the whole political part. Forget the kayaking part for a minute. The political stuff could have been a whole feature in itself.
Right.
Yeah, that was amazing. That was very, I thought it was cool that the Peruvian people really jumped on board, like they're fighting the fight with them.
And when we went to the Colca Canyon to film some stuff there, we didn't realize this, but they're like legends down there. Like there's like statues of them in the towns and stuff. And like when you say like the name, like what, any one of their names, they're like, they roll out the carpets for you.
Wow.
They definitely, the locals definitely feel like that expedition played a huge part in opening up that area for tourism.
Really?
Yeah. So like you think of Peru and tourism, you think of like Machu Picchu and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Colca Canyon has become one of these like not Machu Picchu level thing, but like other place that's on the circuit of places you go visit in Peru, partially because of that expedition.
Now, is it a big adventure destination now? Do people still do that run?
No, that run is, nobody does that run. That's a pretty.
That's just crazy. No sane person does that.
Yeah. You have some like high-end expedition kayakers who are looking for something peculiar to do, and they'll do that.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's that crazy.
It's just really unforgiving.
Yeah.
It's like, it's by modern standards, it's not that crazy. Like, but when they were doing it, it was like pretty like cutting
edge. Especially with the kayaks they were using.
Yeah.
And they were untrained in the beginning, and then they got more training as they went along.
They thought they were trained.
Yeah, that would be like us trying to do like a trip. Like we do lakes and like nice, beautiful, like the Delaware, when you could just sit there and it would take you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like we've never done it. That. White water like that. Yeah.
I also love the way they played with the text. The guy was saying something completely backwards, and you see it loading backwards on the screen. Just like little stuff like that. It's like, it's kind of quirky.
Very interesting. Like, there wasn't a point where you're like, there was a lull. Like, you're thinking, oh, I wish this would go a little faster. Because it was always something interesting to see and hear. Yeah.
Yeah, it was really compelling stuff, and you really did a great, great job with the content, and the way you executed it was fantastic.
Oh, yeah, I appreciate that.
Now what's happening with this?
So we have a small theatrical run right now. So it's in theaters around the United States.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's kind of funny. We never thought that we would do a theatrical run with it, but we have this guy, Henry Leistat, who just kind of specializes in action, adventure, sport, theatrical runs. Mm-hmm. And so it's mostly targeted at like small mountain towns, places that have like whitewater communities, paddling communities,
that's
stuff like
cool.
that. So that's happening August through September. And then in September 21st, we are going to be available online for streaming.
Oh, wow. Cool. Wow. Look at you guys. Yeah. Streaming. Any Netflix, Hulu?
No, just kind of transactional VOD. So like your Amazons, your iTunes, Google Play, stuff like that.
YouTube behind a paywall?
I'm not sure if it's going to be on YouTube. We have a streaming distributor who's handling all that stuff.
Oh, good. So. Okay. Very, very cool. Good stuff. All right. Adam, quick question I'd like to ask you real quick. Would you like to stick around for a little something we call plugs?
Sure. Tracking Waves Plugs.
Hey, Podcastia. Let's see what this guest has to plug.
Trend Waves, trendwaves.com. Visit us on all social media and also on our website where you can get to all of our social media. Next week, we have the Hood Chef coming on. Hood Chef was amazing.
Just had his event.
He just had his event on the 24th of July, yes, and it was
and
wonderful,
if you missed
I'm sure.
It, too bad.
Hey, man, maybe we'll get to the next one.
Go to the next one.
I just know it wasn't our fault.
Check out his Instagram because he is often cooking on the streets.
Yeah, literally. Literally cooking on the streets.
Well, not on the sidewalk, like frying eggs on the sidewalk.
But he has.
I mean, remember, he used to fry eggs on the sidewalk to see how hot it was.
I used to love doing that, yes.
But anyway, not that. He's
okay.
Cooking on a stove on the street,
right.
And he serves breakfast at different locations, and his food looks amazing.
Yes, and so, his Instagram is hoodchef, all in one word, _ on the rise. So hoodchef _ on the rise. Check him out on all your local Instagram accounts.
Oh, I have a plug.
Okay, what is your plug?
Trent Animals Rock.
Yeah.
They are filled to capacity right now.
With animals?
With animals. There are no kill shelter, and they want to maintain that status. Mm-hmm. So they're looking for fosters to take these little babies in for a couple weeks until they can place them in permanent homes. So please contact Trent Animals Rock. You can find them on Instagram and Facebook and so on. They're doing awesome work. They raise money to get these animals cared for and healthy. And they get them off the streets, and it's a wonderful thing.
Ask for Danielle. And if you say that you heard about it on Trenton Waves, you get a free puppy.
She doesn't give away.
So now you have something very exciting.
Well, I'm going to be doing a new podcast.
Oh, my God. Oh, you hear that? They love it already.
Yes. And
what is this show you're doing?
It's a little, I don't want to say it's snarky.
Snarky?
It's informative.
What's the name of it?
The name of it is Get Some Taste, You Flippin' Bastard.
I like that. I like that a lot. Get Some Taste, You Flippin' Bastard.
So it covers a lot of different things that I have been venting to Frank about probably all my life. And I'm just going to, I don't want to just vent. I want to offer solutions.
Because I like that, though.
If you're just going to be a problem and talk about the problems, there's no point.
Yeah, I like the lead in. I like how you go, I've been complaining to Frank my whole life. Nice.
Well, we've got to offer the solutions for the problem, not just the problem.
I'm watching Adam watch us. He doesn't know what to make of us. but this came about, the whole taste thing, because you watch a lot of HGTV, and you see what these people who flip houses do.
And
everything is like tan and white.
There are people who are very, very popular on that show, and I am like, I just don't get it.
Zero taste.
Like, it's just boring. Yeah. It's like, okay, you shop at Target. I get it. We all, So you just want everything to look like everybody else.
Right. Well, yeah.
Anyway, it's not just that, too. It's about traveling. It's about food. It's about...
Just taste in general.
Taste.
Well, get some taste, you flipping bastard. It'll be up on Newport City Podcast Network.
Another thing I want to promote is
upcoming future.
Movie nights in Trenton.
Yes.
Check it out because there's a lot of them and I can't go through all of them. Every park is having movie nights. Also, music in the parks. Check it out if you want to get outside and listen to some cool music. Different types of music on different nights in different parks.
Right.
So go to the City of Trenton website and you get that information.
Different types of movies, too?
Yes. Really? Mostly kids' movies.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, all right. So we should have a movie night in our yard and we'll show, like, real movies. Maybe we'll show Godspeed Los Polacos.
No, they can go somewhere else and see that.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And there's
a plug. And that's a perfect lead-in for our guest, Adam, the director of Godspeed Los Polacos. Adam, what do you got going on?
That's right. This Friday at 7:30, so that's Friday the 13th of August.
Ooh,
spooky.
Good night.
Yeah, we have Godspeed Los Polacos making its a Trenton premiere here.
It's home to home
screening.
Yes.
And then September 21st will be available on streaming platforms.
Nice.
It would be nice to see it with another group. With a group of people in a theater. I think that would be the best way to see
it. Yeah, that's been huge for us because we have been doing, you know, the festival circuit, which for the first half of it was largely virtual screenings, which is kind of like, whatever.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we made the film essentially to submit to the Banff Mountain Film Festival, mm-hmm. which is just, like, that's what I've always kind of looked up to as a kid, and we ended up winning Best Feature there.
Oh, wow.
And so that was really incredibly life-affirming, but, like...
Congratulations.
Yeah, we won it through an email.
What?
It's because, you know, the festival was virtual this year, so it was, like, completely bogus.
That's neat.
but anyway, you won.
Yes.
Focus on that.
But you what won. Is cool is these... In June, we went to the Telluride Mountain Film Festival and Boulder International Film Festival. And those were, you know, in person with live audiences, mm-hmm. and nice. That was excellent. It was so cool to hear which jokes land, which jokes don't, you know, mm-hmm. which parts of the movie are, like, engaging and stuff. And so that was, like, I really wish we could have had some of that haptic feedback when we were right. actually making the film, but
sure.
it's cool to have it now.
Yeah, interesting. That is cool. And I was wondering if it would be... those areas which are outdoorsy places, did they connect with that movie?
Yeah, I mean, if you know, to a large extent, this is like a genre film where yeah. it's designed for people who are into mountain films and mountain okay. culture and whatnot. Right.
Yeah. But it's got that little other, it's exactly. not a little, it's actually a big part of it, but right. it's like you sneak that in there.
Well, so part of it is my just kind of like dissatisfaction with mountain films. They're kind of like always the same exact thing over and over again. It's like, yeah, they went on the mountain, it was cold and hard, and they suffered, and now they're back.
Wow.
Right, right.
So, like, and I really didn't want to tell another story like that, and mm. so this is the happy yes. thing that blended all my interests. Yeah.
No, because when I knew we were going to watch the film, I thought it was just the kayaking film. I yeah. didn't see the other piece coming, and that's really made it very uplifting mm-hmm. and very, like, weightier to
yeah,
me.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you my final question.
Sure.
All right, and give you a moment to meditate on it.
Wait a second. You never say that. Give you a
so
moment.
So I can do
no,
that.
No.
No, I can. It's you my question.
You answer the question, no meditation.
You question, no thinking.
No All thinking. Right.
Anyway, the question is, in your thoughts and imaginings of Trenton, what would be your dream Trenton?
I've heard a lot of tale about, like, Trenton of yore, of the past, where, like, mm-hmm. there's all sorts of weird, like, stuff going on in the arts community where people were living in, like, some squats and stuff, and, like, that, like, I like every time I hear about that, like, that era of Trenton, I'm like, oh man, that sounds so exciting. Or, like, when the Atelier was, like, packed with, like, sculptors and artists coming down to work with at the Grounds for Sculpture, right. like mm-hmm. that in its heyday sounded really cool.
Yeah.
And so it just seemed like it was really like this oasis for artists at mm-hmm. one point. And I think that seeing more of that vibe would be cool.
Okay. All right. Cool.
All right. I'll allow it.
You'll allow it.
Good. I'll allow that answer. Good. I like that answer. It was a good answer.
Good answer.
Cool.
There's no bad answers.
That just about does it for this week.
I know.
Of Trenton Ways. We'll be back next week with Hood Chef. Get ready, people. Hood Chef, he ain't taking no prisoners.
Okay.
No, I'm just letting you know. He's not taking prisoners. He has no room.
He does catering, too.
And he does catering.
Yes.
No prisoners, and he does catering.
Yeah, I like that.
Adam enjoying himself over there. All right, well, we will see you next week. Until that time,
Sasso's out.
You've been listening to the Trenton Waves podcast. Visit us online at TrentonWaves.com.